You know, based upon the weekly prayer requests that we hear, you know, pretty consistently, it's safe to assume that most of us suffer from physical ailments. You know, some are dealing with temporary pain, others are dealing with lifelong struggles, lifelong pains that just don't seem to go away. You know, but I can't imagine Adam and Eve or any of the pre-flood individuals that lived for centuries being stricken with the same unhealthy bodies that we have. I'd hate to live 600, 700, 800 years with some of the pains that many of us are feeling only 50, 60, you know, 70 years into our lives. You know, who would want to live hundreds of years, centuries, with the type of bodies that we have today? You know, be it from the corruption of our DNA over the millennia passed on by generation to generation that did not follow God, or the corruption of the food that sustains us today. You know, our weakened state, moreover the weakened state of this world, can all be attributed to the corruption of God's creation by Satan the devil. You know, the lust and the desire for that one forbidden tree caused a rippling effect, and that single choice has become a tsunami of satanic influence today. All because of that one choice, we suffer today. Some of us have been blessed because of Abraham's obedience to God, but the world suffers today because of that one choice. But you know, this age does not have exclusivity on sickness and on pain. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, and this is speaking about Paul being taken up into the before the throne, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. In verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, do we see our pain, do we see our suffering for the good that it might bring us, for the good that it might bring our spiritual lives? You know, that is a concept that is very easy to be persuaded on an academic level. But it's much harder to deal with practically when we're in the trenches, when we're sick, when we're in pain. It's easy to say that, you know, trials make us stronger, but it's difficult when you're in that trial to always see that light in the end of the tunnel. Well, almost 2 years ago, myself and my two sons were rear-ended in a car accident. And every morning when I wake up, I'm a little sore. I'm a little stiff in my lower back. You know, if I lift something badly, if I do something too strenuous, I might be in a lot more serious pain for a week or so, to the point it makes it difficult some mornings to get out of bed. But this is fractional compared to what others that I know are going through, especially with their backs even. For me, this is merely a discomfort, maybe a small thorn. Well, a physical therapist gave me some stretches and some exercises to do to help relieve some of that pain. And of course, I don't do the exercises. Sometimes I do the stretches, but I blame her for not figuring out the easier way for me to just sit and have this fixed. Well, one morning while doing those exercises, I thought, this is almost the exact same position that I used to pray. I don't pray when I'm doing jumping jacks. I know you're thinking that wasn't one of the exercises. So while I was kneeling down for that particular exercise, I figured, well, I might as well pray. I'm here. can make the day start off a little bit easier. Now, I don't assume to know God's thoughts outside of what He has revealed in the Bible. One thing I'm sure that has not crossed His mind is that I talk to Him too much. God has not grown weary of my constant and consistent communication with Him. You know, consistent might be the better of those two. It's easy to be constant in our prayer when we need God, when we're in those trials. But what about in the brighter times? You know, sometimes it's hard to have that consistency. So now, you know, my desire to relieve myself of pain is compelling me to pray more. You know, if I wake up in the morning, I'm just too much of in a rush. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult to try to pray. But a lot of times if I'm in pain, it's a lot easier to like, well, I'm just going to do that one stretch. It'll help my back a little bit. And like, oh, well, I'm already, you know, it's being forced to your knees when sometimes like, well, I'm already here. Might as well kill two birds with one stone. But my pain focuses me to do, in essence, the right thing, to grow that relationship with God. Well, pain is something that we all have in common. You know, while we might be living in a constant discomfort or pain, we naturally try to rid ourselves of it. We try to get to a different state than that current state of pain. You know, you remove your hand quickly from an iron, it's reactive. It's part of the reflex system of the body. No one delves into deep philosophical thought while touching iron, asking, what does this mean to be hot? What is this iron trying to tell me? You react to preserve your body. Ephesians 5, verse 29. The same preservation is spoken of in the Bible. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And verse 30. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. You know, we seek what is best for our own physical body, for our own physical state, just as Christ is seeking what is best for the spiritual body. You know, so that begs the question then, what is spiritual pain and who is causing it? Well, you know, looking at the body of Christ, of the church today, spiritual pain is very evident. And you and I are the cause of it. Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 6. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? You know, if you have begun to self-righteously judge the church, to self-righteously judge a congregation, to self-righteously judge a person, because you don't despise something, as it said, if you look there, you don't despise something unless you've judged that it is despicable. So if you are judging those things, then you and I are the pain. You are what is causing the body to suffer. And there are dire warnings, brethren, for those who trust in their own self-righteousness. Matthew 18, verse 7. Matthew 18, starting in verse 7. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet, to be cast into the everlasting fire. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Well, Christ, who is the head, it's not any one particular person here, he is the head of the church. We are some other part of that body. He will purge the spiritual body of the church, of those that are cancerous, of those that are bringing pain, those that are making this spiritual body sick. But there is good that we can look forward to. You know, God has promised in the kingdom of God that there shall be no more pain. This is speaking both physical and spiritual. Well, brethren, we must be vigilant that we are not causing the latter, that we are not causing that spiritual pain to our brethren. Those who do will be purged. They will be forever forgotten. Let's be found doing those things that build up, those things that strengthen, that heal the church when Christ returns.